Morning. Can you hear me? Okay, good. I don't put that on till I get up here. Dare I chance that it would be on and you would hear me singing? Yeah, it wouldn't be a joyful noise, that's for sure. I think they call that monotonal. Something about a bucket or something. So today we'll be taking a look at, well, first of all, I want to praise the Lord for this opportunity to have been in His Word and to deliver a message from His Word. That's a special fellowship with Him, and I praise Him every day for that opportunity. We'll be looking at James 1, 2 through 8, and that is about counting it all joy in trials. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but Tristan is in Peter, first chapter, and I am in James, first chapter, and they both address trials. Now, I'd love to take credit and say that we put our heads together and planned that out and thought it through, but not so. That's the Spirit at work, and praise the Lord for that. And those two passages, very different perspectives, we would say, between James and Peter, but they dovetail together perfectly. And James has a practical introduction to trials, sort of a basic upfront explanation of trials, whereas Peter delves into the present and future glory and ties it all directly into Christ. Now that's a brief synopsis, but it kind of gives you an idea of the two. So if you can take the 10% that you remember from my message and the 10% from Tristan's, you'll have 20% that dovetails together nicely and complements each other. So let's go ahead. I will start by reading James 1, 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So let's start out by looking at verse 2, and that is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Various trials, tests, or struggles, as we often call them, are the day-to-day hardships that we encounter in our life, and we are called to count it all joy when we encounter them. This doesn't mean we have to suffer with a smile on our face. Just look at David and how he cried out to the Lord in his many trials. In fact, the Lord wants us to cry out to him. So the Greek word for count, where it says count it all joy, is hegiomai. And that does not mean to feel as in happiness, which comes and goes based on circumstances. Count is to decide for or realize joy. And joy is not a feeling. It is fruit of the Spirit. We can look at joy as a profound contentment in God's unwavering love and provision rooted in His grace. Now I'm going to get Greek geek on you here. And it's important because this really ties it together. So I'll say the English word and then say the Greek word after it and the meaning. So joy, which is chara, literally comes from grace, charis. Thanksgiving, eucharisteo, also comes from the root word of grace, is a critical part of that joy. Thanksgiving is the remembrance of God's grace in the past and for the future, and that brings joy, and with it, peace. We can have joy in trials knowing that His grace is already at work. In fact, that joy and thanksgiving from God's grace creates a shield of His peace around us, which surpasses all understanding. We know that from Philippians. Now, if we look at Romans 8:28, that's Romans 8:28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God." All things like trials, suffering, struggles that we have. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means the trials and tribulations He allows in our lives are part of the working together of all things for good. Therefore, for the believer, all trials and tribulations have a divine purpose. We do well to understand that believers and non-believers alike go through trials just the same. However, we have distinct advantages over the non-believer. We have Jesus as our Savior, His Word, and the Holy Spirit to guide us through them. God desires to use these trials or even bring them our way. Either way, He allows them. So He can make us more like Christ. To the non-believer, trials or suffering is nothing more than that, suffering. How unfortunate that is. The world tries to do away with pain or suffering in any way they can. The quick escape. The believer must engage trials with the right mindset to understand that God has a special purpose for each and every one that comes our way. To the believer, trials are opportunities to become more like Christ. We can even use the power of Christ to do just that. Philippians 4:13. That's Philippians 4:13. And that tells us, I can do all things. There's that all things again, which includes the trials, troubles, struggles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we know from Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So back to that joy and counting it all joy. Perhaps another reason to count it all joy is because the Lord. When we dig in and see what all is involved in joy, then we better understand why to count it all joy. Let's look in verse 3, why else to count it all joy. I'll include verse 2 for clarity. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that God's reason for trials is to make us more like Christ, let's look at God's specific purpose in trials, that is, the testing of our faith. When God tests His children, His purpose is to prove that our faith is real. Not that God needs to prove it to Himself, since He knows all things. But He is proving to us that our faith is real and that we are truly His children. The product of that testing of faith is patience. Hupomone is, yeah, that's right, hupomone is the Greek word for patience, and it means cheerful endurance. Patience is learning to actively trust in God's timing, character, and promises while navigating trials. We don't muster up patience when it is needed. It is a muscle that we must exercise. You might say that the exercise of faith builds the muscle of patience. Patience is also fruit of the Spirit. Just a little side note, self-control and patience hang out together. Think about that for a second. I'm not going to get too far into that. That would be a good study for you sometime. It's kind of like the joy, thanksgiving, and grace. They're not identified in the same root word, but definitely complement each other. And in verse 4, that says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." This sounds a lot like sanctification. The progressive sanctification that takes place within us as the Holy Spirit continues the work of Christ in us. Trials are a big part of sanctification. Philippians 1:6, verse 4, James 1:4, reminds me a lot of Philippians 1:6. And that says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." We can take confidence in the work he is doing regarding trials. But also, please take caution that we can be the greatest hindrance to this progress God desires to make in our lives. This verse is also a promise. So should we not get it the first time, know that God will let us repeat it again. I know this from experience. I'm sure you do as well. There is much to gain from trials if we engage God as we go through them. When we feel as though we don't know how to move forward in trials or that we are going to fail, then we have the answer in verse 5. All we have to do is ask. Verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse 5 really should be our starting point for any trial, because it is calling for us to go to God in prayer. Isn't it amazing that we can approach God and ask for his wisdom and know that he will lavish it upon us, much like his grace, and not shame or rebuke us for doing so? How often do we get headlong or over our head in a trial and we haven't even come to the Lord in prayer over it? I might be guilty of that one too. We need to let go and let God. When we ask for wisdom, verse 6 is the directive. It says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Here is where a big part of the testing of faith is seen. When we approach God and ask for help, for wisdom, we cannot doubt. This is not to say that we cannot have one single doubt. God is not so strict to say that you doubted for a moment, so I'm not going to work with you. He's just not that way. So let me clarify that. This speaks of asking God for wisdom and rejecting it, grabbing the reins from God and going our own way and then coming back to him when it doesn't work out, because it won't. And then asking for wisdom all over again and rejecting it again. All the while we were still holding on to the reins as we asked him for help again. By this we can see why it looks like a wave of the sea being tossed back and forth by the wind. Now here is the outcome of trying to do it ourselves. Verse 7 and 8. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now looking back at this passage, James lays out two options, a proverbial fork in the road as we encounter trials. We can engage God or we can resist God. If we engage God, we experience growth, sanctification, joy, grace, thanksgiving, peace, patience, wisdom, fellowship with God, complete, lacking nothing, according to this passage. Well, according to his word altogether, if we search that out. And that's just to name a few. Now, we will see in more detail from Peter and what Tristan brings us of what we gain in trials, especially as it pertains to Christ. And then we have the option of resisting God. Verse 7 clears that up pretty well. We will receive nothing from the Lord regarding the trials. It's not that he is holding out. It is that we are hindering his work that he desires to accomplish. We will have a severely stunted growth, be anxious, incomplete, double-minded, and lacking everything God has to offer for us. We've all tried both routes, at least I have. I'm sure you guys have as well. James just helps to put it in perspective. Now, it was very difficult not to, I like to include a lot of scripture about Jesus and use Jesus as the example in my messages, but I left that alone to let Tristan have that as he gets into Peter, because that really focuses in on that. So, I'm going to use my experience with the trial as an example, not as an example of look at me as I would with Jesus when I reference him in scripture and use him as an example in messages, but as an example of what he's done in my life through trials. And this would be a fairly specific trial. And I know also I've been asked by several people to give a testimony of the ministry that we're starting and doing. And so I'm going to tie that into this because it definitely goes together. So we'll call it about 20 years ago, my dad passed away very unexpectedly. Some of you knew him. Fewer and fewer as the years go by, and I look around. He had just begun building a house for he and my mom because their cabin was structurally unstable and not repairable. It was shortly after his passing that I realized that this was now to become my project, as she had no means or budget to hire a contractor for the project, which had an urgency due to the condition of their existing home. Keep in mind, please, that I was working 10-hour days with a 2-hour commute at the time, making for a 12-hour workday. Did I mention that we were still not done building our own home and raising our kids? It is a common cliche to hear that God never gives you more than you can handle. Oh, yes, he does. And the appropriate saying should be, God never gives you more than he can handle through you. I literally walked out into the woods and told God that there was no way I could do this. Probably a good starting point. and told God that there was no way I could do this, and that we needed his help. It was not long after that that the building department became involved. There were some issues with the owner-builder filing to be resolved that caused further issues with taxation increases, of course, and the health department to require an entirely new septic system. One that I would have to design, draw, and install. We would also have to demolish the old cabin with a seamless transition to the new house, so she would not be without utilities. Now, there was many other trials that went on in this period. This is just kind of the big picture of that particular trial that will lead to a testimony of the ministry. There, for instance, with the septic system, it was in such a location on the property that you couldn't get a concrete truck or a tank truck to bring the tank in, so I had to excavate to get that open. And of course, I had to do the excavation myself of the drain field, which it rained so much that year that it all caved in, and had to build forms and dig it out and let the mud slide behind the forms to dry and reestablish the drain field so that we could put the pipe and rock in and backfill it. As well, fortunately, at the time of year, the ground was too soft to get the concrete truck in, so we had to hand mix all of the concrete to pour the slab for the tank. Very fortunate that it was dried out enough to get the tank in there later. But that's just a little sample of the specific trials and how much... I know you didn't know that until this point, that all that happened with the septic system. But God used every bit of those years to mold me and make me and my family as well. He used this to bring unity in the church as they came alongside at many work parties to get her into the new home. And some of you were part of that. I'm very thankful for that. To demolish the old one and even put in the new septic. He showed his love and provision throughout and created a unique walk with him, as I had to constantly turn to him for the strength, skills, and abilities to do all of these projects. He had also filled the void that was created when I lost my father and best friend by walking with me each day, lovingly showing me the way forward. There were many projects where I stood back and wondered how I could have possibly got all that done in a day or a week or even a month. But it was never me, it was him. By his hand, we become his hands. Through him, all things are possible. Great things are possible, physically and spiritually. When we are busy worrying about our trials, we are too busy to see God working and engage with him. Just a little side note that I learned there. And we really miss out on a lot. You know, when you can stave off the stress through scripture, through prayer, through learning that patience and trials, it allows you to be able to watch what he's doing and see the awesomeness of our God. Now here is the kicker. I did not realize through all of this that he was working in my heart the desire to start a handyman ministry that helps widows and the elderly. You see, at the beginning of this, my desire was to move to Alaska and live in a little cabin. But he changes our hearts. He had trained me in many different aspects throughout life, let alone these trials, that would apply to this ministry. And now the only thing needed was the financial ability to do so. I prayed that if it was his will to do this ministry, that he would provide the means to do it. In the last 4 years of working, before I retired early, I wouldn't call it retired, but for lack of a better term, we'll use that. In the last 4 years of working, he provided a miraculous incentive program through my employment that allowed us to pay everything off and bridge the gap for living expenses until I can claim Social Security and retirement, which is about 10 years. He also provided enough to build a shop that is tailored towards that ministry, though that is not where the majority of work will be done. The majority will be done in the field. He also provided the ability to start a ministry fund to help with cases where materials for projects cannot be afforded by the recipients. It became quickly obvious in the beginning of those 4 years that he was making this possible, so it became the fuel to complete that trial, as it was not an easy task to get through. We'll just say it was many long hours, which I suppose I was already used to anyways. The ministry that he forged out of this is called His Hands. It is a handyman or jack of all trades ministry that addresses the needs of widows primarily, but also elderly, and truly we will help anyone in need. Construction, woodworking, metalworking, plumbing, electrical, automotive, firewood, hazardous tree felling. Tristan's helped with one of those. Fire breaks, yard work, you name it. If it is something outside of my abilities, then I can be a liaison for the person with contractors, etc., to make sure that they are not being taken advantage of. I mean no disrespect by saying this, but have you ever heard of the silver price? It regards people taking advantage of elderly, silver hair, which I'm getting a lot of. So a liaison is important in that aspect. The purpose of this ministry, beyond helping others, especially widows, through their own trials, is to show people the love of Christ through serving them. This will serve those in the body by uplifting them and encouraging them, and will provide an opportunity to share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. What better way to get your foot in the door, aside from going door to door and having the door slammed in your face? So the forward-looking vision is to grow this ministry to where we will be able to hire people to help or incorporate them as volunteers. Once fully established, we would like to involve youth so that they can get a taste of ministry and so that they can learn skills as well. Now, my intention was to be to finish the shop and be doing ministry full-time in 1 year, and that's, as I look back on it, that was pretty silly. That was my wisdom and my timing, not God's. His timing is now this is the third year, and fortunately he has, another part of my wisdom was to not do any ministry work until I had everything squared away at home, the shop and the backlog of projects that I had from working so many hours. Not God's plan. Right away, he introduced ministry opportunities that I could not turn down. If a widow or somebody asks you to help a widow, you're not going to turn it down. Trust me that. And I'm glad that he introduced those opportunities because it gave me encouragement as I went along to keep moving forward. And yet he didn't bury me to the point where I would have a burnout doing it. So his timing, once again, perfect. And we have, through his guidance, done more and more ministry each year as it goes along. So if anyone ever has any questions regarding that, feel free to ask me. I would love to answer any questions or tell you more about it. As I said, we're not going 100% on it yet, but it is a functioning ministry. And he has taught me much in that 3 years that, you know, is just amazing regarding the ministry and many other things in life as well. And of course, you know, I could tell you the trials have not stopped and they never will because he uses them. And I don't want to say I welcome them, but I do actually, because I know that he uses that to work in us. And it's a huge part of our sanctification in him, that progressive sanctification. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for stepping down and being amongst us to, first through Christ, to redeem us, to set us free from our sins. But not to just stop there. You step into our lives through the Holy Spirit to finish the work of Christ, to sanctify us completely so that we're perfect and lacking nothing. And we thank you for the promise that we can be confident of that very thing, that you have begun that work in us and you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to his return. We thank you for the way that you use trials in our life and that you give us the wisdom that we need to get through them and that you are approachable. We can come to you and ask you for that wisdom and that you lavish it upon us. You don't shame us or rebuke us for doing so. You're always willing to give us that awesome grace that you lavish upon us. We thank you for culminating the fruit that you do in our lives and how very important it is to learn that from you. We thank you again for the opportunity to be here today as brothers and sisters in Christ, to fellowship and worship, to learn from your word. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are sick. It sounds like many this morning, sick or healing, that you will put your arms around them and help them to heal and be able to come back and fellowship with us soon again. And we pray that we will take your word forth with us throughout this week and to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to you and an example to others and be ready to give an account for the reason why. We pray this in the powerful and awesome name of Jesus. Amen.